David, a man after God's own heart. That's what God called David. Well, what a history as we look back and look at this man. Presented to us, of course, first, where we heard the giant Goliath defy the armies of the living God. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who thinks that he can defy the armies of the living God? One that had been chosen by God as king, but not able to take the throne because of the disobedience of Saul. Ran from him for 40 years. Had offered assistance to him because of his mental condition. Was almost killed by him with a spear from David. Showed that man that tried to kill him great honor in not killing him when he had an opportunity. Let down his God and let down his people in the situation with Bathsheba and the death of Uriah. And you think back to all of this, and there was more to come because of that situation with Bathsheba and Uriah, and the sword never departed from his house. He even had a son that tried to kill him later on. He had to flee Jerusalem for a period of time. And he's a man after God's own heart, a perfect man he was not, for there are none except one, and that, of course, was Christ. And it's interesting wherever you look at the things that he writes. I believe that there was joy in his heart because of God and recognition of the blessings that he received. There was also, as he stated in the 51st Psalm, as he wrote, "My sin is ever before me." There were regrets. I want to look with you this afternoon at some of the I haves in the 119th Psalm. We'll go through all 176 verses, one verse at a time, and exegete that out. Maybe we won't quite do that. But we will look in the 119th Psalm. And you can be thankful I was joking. But we also want to put with that those I haves that we find in the 119th Psalm from David. And put with that some of the I wills that go along with what David says. Notice this with me if you would. In verse 10 of the 119th Psalm, David says, "With my whole heart I have sought thee." And here he's talking about a God toward attitude. And also whatever has taken place in his life, whatever the circumstances were, there was still that very thought that God recognized in him when he said he's a man after mine own heart, and that he looked to God. He, as we said, made mistakes. He also made correction. And he was a man of character. Even after that mistake with Bathsheba and the killing of Uriah, and without any further excuse, he says, "I have sinned." And God put away his sin because of that. But it goes back to this that is in his heart. "With my whole heart have I sought thee." His intent was to follow his God. And what a great statement that is. And it's something that I think that we need to look at and say, is that my attitude? Is that my attitude? And this is the right object sought in the right manner. When we look in the 27th Psalm in verse 4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord," he says, "that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." He recognized that the great riches and the glory, not to be found in an earthly kingdom, not to be found in a rule and a reign as a king, of which he was, but rather that he looked to God and his power. He looked to God and his reign. He looked to God and his control. We understand that for the sheep astray, there is only the wormwood and the gall, those that are not in right relationship with God. In Lamentation 3 and verse 19, "Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall." And here, Jeremiah speaks on behalf of Judah, who has fled and gone to Egypt where they were told not to go. And he recognizes that their affliction now comes upon them as wormwood and gall. They are as that which is poisonous. their actions have led them to that. In Him, that is in Christ, in God, is life. Seek the Lord by turning to His will. We see in Jeremiah 23 and verse 29, verse 13, "And you will I seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." God says that to the people. And it goes back and it ties in with what David had said. I've sought my God with all of my heart. And because of that, there's a therefore. The I have sought thee. Now there's a therefore in connection with that. And I use the 92nd Psalm, verse 2 and 3. "Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all peoples." And whatever success it was that David had, he's saying, "I sought thee with all my heart, and whatever I have attained to this point, I will give, of course, the credit where the credit is due, and it is to my God. Therefore, I will proclaim His name to all that are around me." And not try to take upon myself, of course, that attribute of what I've done for myself. That should be our attitude also. If we're blessed, and I believe each and every one of us are blessed, it should be that we praise God to the glory of that blessing back to Him, for us to recognize where that blessing came from. And not only that, but to share it with others also. Just as He sees here, it says here in the 96th Psalm. We also see that David said this in the 119th Psalm, verse 14, "I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies." And that's really what the 119th Psalm is about. Throughout the entire Psalm, it's about the Word of God, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Everything ties in to looking at God's Word and giving glory to God because of His Word and being thankful to God because of His Word. And His actions are controlled by His Word. And that's what the 119th Psalm is about. And we see it in the way of His testimonies, there is joyful deliverance. His ways are the ways of righteousness. Faith leads us in the promised land of the unsearchable riches of Christ through obedience to His Word. Do we recognize that about the Word that we have today? Are we thankful for that direction that we have? In Ephesians 3 and verse 8, "To me, Paul says, who am least of the least of the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Doesn't mean, of course, that we cannot know what God would have us to do. He's saying without God, we wouldn't know what to do. He gives glory to God in that, Paul does, in that we have the direction from God, that Word that we have today. Are we thankful for that? Or does His Word get in our way? Does His Word get in our opinion? Does His Word get in the way of the liberty that we think we have, things that we want to do? And if it wasn't for God, I'd be able to do that. And that's the way that many are today, but that's not the attitude. "I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies." Seek then, as Jeremiah says in the 6th chapter, in the first part of verse 16, "Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it that you will find rest for your souls." Seek those old paths. And when he says old paths, he's not talking about outdated. Those paths that are established by God for the conduct that he requires of those that will be his. And that's what he's speaking of. And so this then requires another therefore. "I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, therefore," the 119th Psalm, verses 13 through 15, "with my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways," because without following God's ways, we are actually astray. We're walking blind. We're not in the light as He is in the light, as we see in 1 John 1 and verse 7. Notice with me also the 26th verse of the 119th Psalm, "I have declared my ways." Something that I believe I've mentioned already before, there, his owning up to situations that took place in his life. You remember whenever Saul was in a cave and David had the chance to kill him and he didn't. He cut a portion of his garment off. And he felt so bad about that he had acted that way. And he made confession of that wrong. And even told Saul what he did. I could have killed you, but I didn't. And I'm sorry for acting that way. How could I have acted toward the anointed one of God? And David, wherever he said those words, where the anointed king, Saul was standing in the way in opposition to God. Not necessarily in opposition to David, but in opposition to God. And it shows the attitude of humility and respect of the man after God's own heart. When we realize our ways, that there needs to be correction, there's things that we have to do. And in the 14th Psalm in verse 3, they have all turned aside, they have together become corrupt, there is none who does good, no, not one. That's very familiar, isn't it, from Romans the 3rd chapter, verses 10 and following. And so because that recognition is there, that there are shortcomings in our life, we should exclaim, just as David did in 2 Samuel the 12th chapter and verse 13, I have sinned against the Lord. Those exact words were also stated by Saul, King Saul. But remember what he said prior to that. He said, it's not my fault, it's the people's fault that God's will was not carried out. And besides that, it's God's fault because God loves sacrifice. He made excuse. When he first saw Samuel after the turn of what was supposed to be the annihilation of the Amalekites, he said, I perform the work of the Lord. I've done everything he's asked me to do. And all of that was a lie. And all of it was to shift blame and to put it somewhere else. And then after all of that, he comes down and says, I have sinned. And I'll suggest to you that Saul, when he said, I have sinned, isn't saying, I have sinned from the standpoint of repentance. It's, I've sinned from the standpoint of I got caught. And I'm sorry I got caught. David, in hearing the story about the poor man with the little ewe lamb, and then Nathan saying to him after, remember, David got very upset about this man, will pay. He will repay threefold and he will die. And Nathan looks at him and says, thou art the man. And then explains to him exactly what was known by God. And upon hearing that, without excuse, I have sinned. He said in the 26th verse of the 119th, I've declared my ways. I've owned up to my failings. I've done that. And there should be the desire to understand and apply God's word in connection with that. We recognize we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And that doesn't happen unless there is a recognition of our shortcomings and that we need God in our life. And so therefore, we can turn and declare His ways to others. In the 38th Psalm of verse 18, for I will declare my iniquity, I will be in anguish over my sin. And that should really be our attitude too. Grateful of the great love and grace that comes from God so that we do not have to die for those sins. So that we do not have to be separate from God, so much so that we understand, I will then tell it to others, my salvation to others. I have declared my ways. We look also at verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth. David says that in the 119th Psalm. This is a courageous and necessary choice. He has chosen to be faithful to us, God has, and that He sent His Son. And everything that he intended to do, he had done. We looked at it this morning. There was great expectation on the one that was called Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. And he upheld everything that was spoken of him and did what he was to do. When we think about this from Revelation 2 and verse 10, the attitude that was going back, I have chosen the way of truth. And so God says in connection with that, yes, and be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life, when we look in Revelation 2, in the second part there of verse 10. I realize this is Jesus speaking to the church at Ephesus, but I believe it fits in so well. I've chosen the way of truth. Well, then be faithful unto death. Don't disobey. Therefore, comes along with this then, since I've chosen the way of truth, the 71st Psalm, verse 16 through 18, I will go into the strength of the Lord God and will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, Do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. I've chosen the way, but I made the determination. I have a conviction in my heart to choose your way and not my way. And I will look unto your ways. I've refrained, verse 101 of the 119th Psalm, I've refrained my feet from every evil way. There are those that like to test the waters. Those that think that they can straddle the fence. Those that can dabble in sin. And still then remain in a covenant relationship with the Lord. The attitude of David is, I've refrained my feet from that. We talked this morning in our class about the old attitude of, well, the young people just have to sow their wild oats before they can come to the Lord. Let me just for a moment share with you a man that I studied with some years ago. And he came so close to being obedient to the truth and then backed off because of some doctrinal understandings that were not in accordance with God's will. But he shared this with me because we were talking about this very thing. I've refrained my feet from every evil way. And he said to me, Garen, he says, I wish that I had. He said, whenever I got to be about 17, 18 years old, I was trying drugs, I was trying all kinds of things. He said, and my father, he gathered up all my stuff, threw it out on the sidewalk, and I was thrown out right after that. He said, I went to work and I made money. And he said, I went into college, but I didn't stop my evil ways, including sexual promiscuity, unfaithfulness. I cannot say the word right now, I'm sorry. And he says, I met a young lady that was in the same situation I was in. She had tried drugs and she was promiscuous. Got it. Said we eventually married. I eventually gave up those drugs. He said, but I want you to know this. He said, she and I cry ever so often because we did not save ourselves for one another. And we lost that purity. We lost that innocence. We lost that true oneness that comes by not dabbling in sin in that matter. David says, I've refrained my feet from every evil way. And there are many evil ways that may look pleasant to us, but we are to walk by faith and not by sight. We are to keep the God's word. As we see in Philippians, the fourth chapter, we're to have an attitude of mind that is described in verse 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any thing praiseworthy. Meditate on these things. Refrain from the evil. Keep this thought in mind, is what he is saying. And there won't be the regrets. There won't be the regrets that so many have. There's a therefore that goes along with this, or at least a thus. When we look in the 119th Psalm, verse 11 through 13, your word I have hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I've declared all the judgments of your mouth. And there is something in that that people need to recognize. There is the honor. There is the strength. There is the glory that is living in this world. And that is to look to God and refrain our feet from each and every evil way. I have longed for thy salvation, he says in the 174th Psalm. Salvation from the Lord is an experience we need to long for in all its fullness. We look over in Matthew, the 5th chapter, and verse 6, Sermon on the Mount, one of the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. I've mentioned many times to you the Stevenson Unit Church of Christ. Going in the first time into that prison, and there you had a group of men that were hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And I really believe it's because they recognized just how derelict they were in their service to God, in their obligations to God, in the type of life that they had lived. They recognized the degradation of sin and what it caused them, what it cost them, and they were in a place because of that. And there were so many of them that had lost their family that would not talk to them. Wives, daughters, sons, fathers, mothers, because of the things that they had done. They had not longed for the salvation. And then whenever you go in and you begin preaching the word, you see what it truly is to hunger after and thirst after righteousness. Because they recognized just how needful they were, how needy they were in Christ Jesus. We should then say, because of this, from the 66th Psalm, verse 16, "Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my soul." And that's David speaking, the man after God's own heart. Could we not all say that? Should we not all say that? I want to declare what God has done for me. And that really opens up the door to discussion with others. It opens up the door to show our faith through Christ Jesus, our thankfulness to the Father of Heaven that gave His only Son, to Christ who gave Himself, and to those men that wrote down God's Word in all of this 119th Psalm, as since it is speaking of God's Word, you think about the apostles that gave themselves for that. How can we hold back the teaching that has been given to us if we truly long for the salvation of the Lord? We want to be involved in that, and we want others to be involved in it also. We want others to share in the joy that we have. "I have gone astray like a sheep," he says in the 176th Psalm, verse of the 119th Psalm. A lost sheep can do nothing but go astray. There's no shepherd. There's no one directing. We look over in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, 21 through 25, and if there was a man that could speak to this, well, it was Peter, wasn't it? He says, "For to you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten. He committed Himself to Him who judges righteously, who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls." I promise you, Peter recognized wherever he walked astray. He really did. When you look at Luke's account, when Jesus was on trial before the Sanhedrin, that Peter, two times, had denied that he knew anything about Christ. And then as you come down to that third denial, as the words left his mouth, "I don't know Him. I don't know what you are saying concerning Him. I'm not part of that." I'm paraphrasing. Upon that third denial, their eyes met. That is, Jesus turned and looked at Peter, and Peter saw Jesus. Do you think that he recognized that he was lost? Jesus had even said before his death, "Peter, I have prayed for you because Satan wants to sift you like wheat. I have prayed for you that your faith fail not." And it ultimately did not. Because this man, just as all the others except save one of the apostles, died for the cause of Christ. It was even foretold by Jesus about that in John the 21st chapter. "I've gone astray like sheep." And when we're away from the Lord, we have to recognize we're lost. If we stray away, understand that is applicable not just to those that are not Christians, but even more so to those that are. Because it's straying away from that safety, or straying away from that shepherd, the great shepherd of the souls. And so we have this attitude where, yes, I have strayed when we sin, and we recognize that. Think of what we wander away from in all of this. From God and His Word, think of where we wander to. The shepherd's purpose to seek and to save the lost. Matthew 9:36. "But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd." And Jesus saw that day by day. And He was the shepherd for them. And so in the 19th chapter, in verse 10 of Luke, He says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He was trying to bring his own people back to the Lord. What goes along with that, we are able to say, I've gone astray like sheep. We should be able to do that. All sin and falling short of the glory of God, and we make mistakes throughout our life. However, we could say that we have the attitude toward God that can help us to come back because we want to serve Him with all of our hearts. So there's a therefore that goes along with this. And that's the 96th Psalm. Verses 2 and 3, sing to the Lord, bless His name, proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all people. We can't be silent. We recognize when we sin that we've gone away like sheep, and we recognize that through His blood we have the forgiveness of sins to enter back into relationship with Him. We understand that from 1 John 1, verse 7. So I ask, do we have the I haves, and do we have the I wills that go along with it in our walk before the Lord? That we see here in the 119th Psalm, with my whole heart I've sought thee, therefore proclaim the good news, I'll do that, of His salvation from day to day, declare His glory, His wonders among all the people. Do we do that? Or do we keep it to ourselves? I have rejoiced in thy testimonies, verse 14. Therefore, I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. I have declared my ways, verse 26. We go then to the 38th Psalm. For I will declare my iniquity. I will be in anguish over my sin. Do we have that attitude? I have chosen the way of truth, verse 30. Therefore, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, verse 101. Thus, your word I have hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have longed for thy salvation, the 174th verse. We see that therefore to that we should be able to say, come and hear. All you who fear God, I will declare what He has done for me, for my soul. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Therefore, I will proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day, declare the glory among the nations, His wonders among all the people. Are we doing that? Do we take the forgiveness of God for granted? Do we take the great sacrifice that He accomplished for us for granted? He didn't ask you, do you want me to die for you? He did it. Expectation there was, surely a people will return my love. But even if they won't, I'm still dying for them. And He did, and He went to the cross with that thought. Will you reject that? Or will you be obedient to your Savior who died for you? Will you become a child of God? And then those of us here, are we people after God's own heart? Can we say the same things that David had and said in 119th Psalm? Can we reply? Can we reply to the things that he recognized that he had and make a reply to it about positive actions in order to be pleasing to him and to spread the word? The fields are white for harvest. There are many that are out there, and there are some good and honest hearts. Are we seeking those? If there are those we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.